Hi there, this is Chris Walter. I'm the pastor of New Beginnings Church, and this is our weekly sermon podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I hope this inspires you to grow in your faith and causes you to see God in your life in a new way. Enjoy the message. Our reading today is the 107th chapter of the book of Psalms. Here we hear from verses 1 through 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no way to inhabit the town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. So over the next several weeks, we're going to spend some time walking through the book of Psalms. You know, this is a season of Thanksgiving. The month of November, as much as the retail industry would like us to think, is Christmas. The truth is, we have to get through one other holiday before we enter into the season of Advent and the season of Christmas, and that is Thanksgiving. I saw something not too long ago, I think it was earlier this week, in which someone had posted a picture. And on that image, it said that Thanksgiving is one day a year, but that Christmas is all year long. And while there's some truth to that, we should celebrate the birth of Christ all year long, the gift that God gave to us. It is also, I think, wrong in the sense that Thanksgiving is not one day a year, but it is truly all year long, especially if it means a feast that can be had each week. Not that I like a big spread of turkey and sweet potatoes, but let's not joke around. I mean, seriously, who wouldn't like a meal like that every Sunday? But we find ourselves, though, in the month of November, having passed the Halloween season. The leaves are changing. It's now cold, isn't it? But we are in this season of Thanksgiving. And in the book of Psalms, in and of itself, is throughout its writings, is both praises to God and thanksgivings, but also cries of distress and sorrow. That's what this whole book is at its heart about. But over these next 3 weeks, we're going to look at some different sections in which the express of thanksgiving, gratitude, and a heart turned towards God and God's faithful response to us and to all his people is so important. And that because if we have a thankful heart, we must also have a dependent heart on God. That God will and does and always come through for us. He is always present. He's always there. Now, I know it's easy to give thanks to God when everything is going well, when life just seems perfect. There is no sickness. No one's hurt. Everyone has a job. But what about when it's not? What about when everything is just flat? It's not great, but it's not bad. It's just there. How easy is it to forget to give thanks to God in that season? Or how about when things aren't going so well? We wake up and we realize our bodies don't move like they used to. We wish they did, but they don't. We look around and we see how those whom we love are hurting. They're struggling. In this day and age, it's everywhere you look. There's someone struggling in life. Whether it's the struggle to have income, to put food on the table, whether it's even to find housing in some parts of our country. It breaks our heart to see even children going hungry day after day. Or we look around in this time of season, even this weekend, even tomorrow, when we see that men and women who have served this country live on the streets, alone, desperate for someone to see them. It breaks our hearts. And so how, in the midst of all that, can we go to God and praise God and give thanksgiving to God? It's harder. It's more challenging, but yet we must. We must give thanks to God in the midst of storms of our lives. One question to keep in mind as we go through today and even throughout this whole season is there a cure for misery? Is there a cure for anxiety, for worry, for fear, for frustration? Is there one? Does one exist? Hold on to that question in your mind today and throughout this month as we approach that one day we place on the calendar called Thanksgiving. I want to tell you a story I read not too long ago. There's a place in Mexico, and this place exists, where there are springs. In one spring, the water is bubbling hot. In the spring, almost right next to it, the water is ice cold. These springs are, in such a way, a natural phenomenon. But it's also convenient for the locals. Because you see, they go to these springs with their laundry. They place their clothes in the boiling hot water to remove any dirt, any germs. And then they'll place it in the cool water to cool the clothes off and fold them and take them home. There was once a tourist who went to these springs. He watched this take place. And he turned to his guide and he said to the guide, he said, "How wonderful, how grateful these people must be to have this phenomenon right here in their community, in which they don't have to worry about hot water or cold water to wash all their clothes. It's all right here provided by Mother Nature, by God." The guide with him turned to him and said, "No, sir, not at all. Everyone grumbles every day, complains about these springs." Tourist turned to his guide and said, "Why would they ever do such a thing? God has given them this beautiful thing." He says, "Well, they know it's beautiful, but they're still waiting on God to provide the soap to wash the clothes." Now, it's a funny story. Whether there ever was a tourist that did this or not, I don't know. But isn't it true how sometimes we ourselves will grumble? We'll have something great, but yet we will use a lens to look at it, to look at life, if you will, in such a way that it's more of a problem than a gift. We might look at a situation and think, "Geez, how sad is this? It could be so much better." Or do we look at things and praise God for the little things? Is life one hardship after another, with very little rest in between? Or is your life a blessing? That every day that you wake up, you praise God that you are alive. Even if life is full of pain and suffering, you still give thanks and praise to God that you are here. How do you see life? How do you see your life today? What do you think of in your mind as you look at life? As we turn to our scripture in this 107th Psalm, we see how at the very beginning it opens up and it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For he is good." Now it's interesting, the psalmist uses a word here to describe good, to describe God. If we think about it in this context, there are certain things in our life, in our daily world, that is good, isn't there? That we just say is good. I was thinking about this even just yesterday. You know, things that are good, pizza is good, tacos are good. Some wouldn't agree with this, but sushi is good. But what about a sunrise or a sunset? Is that just good? Or is that beautiful? Is that magical? What about a new infant? Are they just good? Are they precious? Are they wonderful? What about when we see news that brings joy to our hearts? That's not just good. It's wonderful. It fills us with excitement. I suspect if you're an Ohio State fan, seeing Penn State lose yesterday was not just good. It was glorious and wonderful. But the psalmist doesn't describe God as just good here. He's not just saying God is just good. He's just, you know, good. No, the psalmist is using a word in Greek, pronounced tobo, which means something even bigger, even greater than just good. He's saying that God is the greatest, that God is beautiful, God is magical, God is precious. God is perfect. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is wonderful. He is beautiful. He is precious. He is sweet. He is perfect. For his steadfast love endures forever. God's love endures for eternity. God's beauty, favor, and mercy is eternity. It never ends. It never stops. It doesn't just go away because we find ourselves in a place of struggle, a place of anxiety, of stress, of worry. God's love hasn't changed even in the midst of that. And the psalmist says, and because of that, we must give thanks to God. We must give praise to God. Not just a simple thank you, God, but we must sing with joy in our whole heart. We must dance. We must smile. Be filled with this love. He goes into the second verse. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble. You have been saved from sin. And because you have been saved, because you have been redeemed, this is about you. This is about each of you. This is about those whom you love, who it seems have strayed away from God. It's about them as well. For God gathered all from the east, from the west, and from the north and the south. He gathers all his children together, regardless of how they view, where they find themselves, or even if they are just so filled with anger towards God, they want to be away from him. God still gathers them all together. He still brings them back into his midst. In the midst of this second verse, he says, let the redeemed. He's saying that you are part of the family of God. You are his kin, his children, whom he wonderfully created, who he brought into this world, even a broken world, so that you can share that great and glorious love with those around you, even when tears of sadness roll down your face. The psalmist says, give thanks to your Lord. Give thanks to your Father. Now, in particular, this psalm is referring to a group of people that God brings back to Israel. He says in verse 4 through 7, he says that some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to an inhabited town. This town referring to Jerusalem, but also referring to a place for you and me where we go to be with Christ, to be with our Father in heaven. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt so exhausted that you thirst for a hope, that you hunger for love, for healing, for a mercy that you just don't know where it comes from? All of this, the psalmist writes, and he says, and then those who God called cried out to him in their trouble, in their sin, in the midst of their distress. They cried out to him, and in doing so, God delivers you. God will, God has, and always will deliver you. The word trouble that is used here is a reference to a tight place, a place where you're so cramped and so almost claustrophobic that anxiety or stress wells up in you, and you need to get free. You need to break loose, but yet you feel like you can't get out. And the psalmist says, there's one way out. That's go to your Father in heaven. Cry out to your Lord. Cry out. Share that struggle with him. And he will deliver you. He will set you free. It's hard to do, though, isn't it? It's hard to cry out to God in pain, because sometimes we want to hold on to that within us. Because the truth is, it kind of sometimes can give us comfort. It's something we can see and we can hold on to, because we might tell ourselves, well, I deserve this pain. Or this isn't going away because, well, truth be told, there's probably a reason they deserve it. Or maybe it's just not strong enough. But God says, and the psalmist writes, his steadfast love, his wonderful works are a gift to you. And it goes throughout this whole 107th psalm. Many times do we read that God's love is steadfast. In other words, God's love cannot ever be changed. It can never waver. It is so strong that the greatest winds can come and it won't move. The strongest despair can come and knock on your door, and God's love will not change. It is that powerful. It is so strong, the psalmist writes, that his love will shatter the doors of bronze and cut to the bars of iron. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to cut iron before, but it takes a mighty power to cut through. And to shatter a door of bronze, man, that love, has to be so powerful that no matter how much you think God may at times not love you, no matter how much you think God may not notice your struggle, the psalmist says he sees you, for he brings you out of the darkness, out of the gloom. That 23rd Psalm about that dark valley, where we are never alone in, is so true. It's so, so true. So how great, how good do you see God? And if you see God as just average, as just okay, then you're missing something powerful. It's like looking at that most beautiful sunset that you've ever seen and saying to someone next to you, "Eh, it's okay. It could be better." The birth of a child in the world is like saying, "Eh, it's all right." God doesn't want you to look at the world that way. God wants you to look at every situation you go through, good, bad, or ugly, and continue to sing his praises. Because God is there with you. God is in the midst of it. Jesus stood on the water in the midst of a storm. And he called you out of the boat to come to him. And he says, "Have faith, because you will walk on water. You will come to me. You will enter my embrace." And so give thanks to God for all that you do, all that you may suffer through, when we cry humbly to God. The psalmist pushes us to look at the question of, is there a cure for worry, for misery, for anxiety, for fear? And the answer is yes. The answer is Jesus. God's mercy for us in our lives is so beautiful that even the most picturesque sunrise or sunset, the most beautiful young baby we ever seen, doesn't even compare to his love for you, his love for all his children in the world. It is so perfect. And he wants us to know that. So he sent his son to demonstrate that love for you. And so may this month, may this become a new way of life for you. This is not just a season of thanksgiving, but a life of thanksgiving. May you turn to God this week, this month, and even a year from now, being in a season of thanksgiving, giving praise. For God is good. God is glorious. God is perfect all the time. Amen.